Return to Camp Blood, Episode 34, Tommy vs. Jason.
This episode is brought to you by FridayThirteenthFranchise.com.
Jesus Christ. Jason's alive. He killed my friend, now he's coming for me.
He's got a death curse.
Jason's a legend.
I'm Mrs. Warren, an old friend of the Christies.
Jason belongs in hell.
You're doing if you stay here.
Never come back again.
Today is his birthday.
Welcome to another episode of Return to Camp Blood. I'm your host, Chris, joined by my fellow counselors, E.
What's up, y'all?
And Oz.
What's up, everybody?
This week's episode is sponsored by Audible.com. With Audible, you can choose from over 180,000 audiobooks, including our recommendations like Choreography by Corey Feldman. In it, he reveals the ups and downs of his life and what it was really like as a kid who grew up in Hollywood. Or you can grab yourself a copy of Kane Hodder's book, Unmasked, the true life story of the world's most prolific cinematic serial killer that chronicles his journey from a lowly stuntman to the guy behind the mask and beyond. Both are read by the men themselves and are entertaining as shit. Sign up today and you can choose one of those books for free. After the first month, it's only $15 a month and you can cancel at any time, including during the free month. The best part about that is you get to keep the book you got during your free trial with no penalties. So head over to campbloodpodcast.com/audible for more details. That address will redirect you right to the Audible sign-up page. And again, speaking of ads, the unfortunate truth that comes with, you know, how much we've grown lately is that as the show grows, so does the cost. We still have a couple sponsors that would like to be on the show, but again, I'd really like to keep the show in the hands of all of you and us. So here is our promise to you. If we can get at least the monthly cost of the show in donations, I won't read another ad, including the one I just read. Help us keep this show ad-free by going over to our Patreon page over at campbloodpodcast.com/donate and hitting the donate button. Now, you may be asking yourself, what's in it for me, bro? I don't mind ads. Fair enough, but over at our Patreon page, there are multiple donation levels, all with their own rewards. Rewards include automatic entry into our Facebook giveaways. You won't have to do shit, but wait for me to email you if you won. At another level, you get access to unedited episodes of our show, which include bloopers and the numerous, numerous fuck-ups. And we even started doing episodes that will only be available to patrons. You can get Return to Camp Blood merchandise and even the chance to be on our show for a Q&A session with us. And what's more is that for every dollar we get above and beyond operating costs, that money will go right back into the show, and you'll get a better produced show for it. I've scheduled our future episodes, and even sticking only to Friday, we have enough stuff to talk about until 2017. Your donations will also allow us to upgrade our equipment and capabilities, attend cons, and stuff like that. So if you want an ad-free show and some extra shit along with it, consider hooking us up with some coin over at campbloodpodcast.com/donate. Well, so now that that's over and done with, I really hate reading all that shit, but, you know, we need some money and stuff.
We hate listening to it, too.
Yeah, that's
a valid statement.
These guys got to – I don't pre-record that part because I want you to know our pain when I have to read it all. Anyway, on to what we actually came here to talk about. So it is no secret that Tommy Jarvis is one of our favorite characters in the entire series. I mean, we've talked about it through these last – three films about how much we enjoy Tommy as a character, with the exception of maybe part six. He was a little iffy in that one, but whatever. And that's probably true for you guys too. And what's crazy is for years, Corey Feldman has actually expressed some interest in pinning a script, pitting his Tommy against Jason one last time, but we've never really seen anything materialize either officially or unofficially at this point. And basically, there are a slew of fan fiction bringing these two back together, but I really feel like it would be nice to see them on screen again. Over at zombieapocalypse.com, Harrison Smith, who wrote and produced The Fields, which is an excellent fucking movie if you haven't ever seen it, he posted an open letter to New Line detailing why they should consider making this film a reality. Now, I'm not gonna read the full letter here, but I will sort of follow the abbreviated version Jason Parker posted over at Friday13thFranchise.com back in October so we can hit the highlights. I will go ahead and post a link to both posts over at campbloodpodcast.com/34. So the first major point that Smith hit is Corey Feldman. And I'll just read a little bit from that bullet point. There are only three memorable characters from the entire Friday the 13th franchise, and that is Pamela Voorhees, her son Jason, and Tommy Jarvis. Anyone else is simply part of a victim menu. Corey Feldman originated Tommy in 1984's Final Chapter. The film was naturally overloaded with two-dimensional characters who served no purpose other than to die in a variety of ways, but there was something about Feldman's performance that shaded Tommy and made the young boy far more real than the dozens of victims around him. While his character was severely underwritten, did he actually create all those elaborate masks? Did he know of Jason's previous exploits, and did he study him? Audiences took to Tommy Jarvis, and Jason had himself a formidable nemesis. Okay, so, yeah, I think as far as Corey Feldman's concerned, that is actually a movie I would like to see. And like I mentioned in the intro, Corey Feldman has actually, you know, talked over the years about making, at least writing the script for this.
You think he's a good writer?
It's hard to say. I mean, you know, I don't want to talk too ill of the man here, but I mean, we all know that, you know, for a while he seemed to be getting his shit together, and then after Corey Haim died, he just, I don't know what happened. I mean, I guess I get it. I mean, his best friend in the whole fucking world killed himself. So I don't know. I don't know if he could write it, but could he act in it? I think he could.
That's another thing, though. I mean, do you think is the Tommy Jarvis character, is it so important to the whole thing just because it was a figure that was a child that was so important at the time and he played the role so well as a child? Do you think that has anything to do with it? I mean, like how highly regarded that role is? I mean,
yeah, I mean, Tommy Jarvis is highly regarded. And the only reason that we're even talking about bringing Tommy Jarvis back is because the trilogy is not complete. I mean, yes, we got part six. And in the scheme of Friday the 13th movies, they could have done so much with that storyline. And I think, while I don't hate part six like some people do, Oz, I'm talking about you here.
I don't hate it. I just don't like it.
I know.
You don't not hate it.
I don't hate it. I just don't like it.
I mean,
there's a difference. Yeah. It's.
But I think, as a movie in the Jarvis trilogy, that one, it had the worst Tommy in it, and it had the worst storyline out of really the only storyline that I dislike more than part six is Jason Goes to Hell. And I mean, you even got Manhattan, Jason X, and all those in there. They could have done so much. I mean, we talked to Melanie Kinneman, and the storyline that they originally had planned, I thought would have done the Jarvis trilogy a better service.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Very much agreed. I don't know. I think part of the appeal for the Tommy character is that he was supposed to be somebody that, you know, a lot of people can relate to. He was kind of the outcast. He was the you know, he was honestly a lot like us. I mean, video game.
He was
nerdy,
the fucking, he
kinda,
was a goonie.
Yeah, he was a nerdy kind of kid that, you know, didn't really fit in. That in a lot of ways, his personality in some ways could parallel Jason's, you know, that he didn't fit in. He was, you know, not, you know, the cool kid, and, you know, he was a little out there, you know. So it's kind of, you know, the two both ends of the spectrum, I think, you know. And I think that's why Tommy's character was such a good, you know, adversary for Jason, because, the you know, Jason could relate you know, he could relate to Jason in some ways.
Yeah, I never thought about it from that aspect, the similarities. I mean, aside from the whole, you know, killing people with a machete. Well, actually, he did kill a guy with a machete, technically. So, yeah, a lot of similarities up after that.
Well, and two, Tommy also was the first and really the only, if you look back at all the films, of the, you know, I mean, we jokingly call him the final girl, but that comes back for more installments. I mean, I would have loved to have seen that, you know. I mean, Adrienne Keene came back, but I mean, she, you know, the first one she was, you know, she only faced Jason briefly in part two, and that didn't work out too well. But I mean,
well, I wouldn't say she faced Jason. Her back was turned to him.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Ho, ho, ho.
Boom.
Okay. Yeah.
Fair enough. Man. I get your point. My point is,
you know, I would have loved to have seen Jenny come back from part two. You know, I would have loved to have seen, you know, Chris come back, you know, after, you know, seeing what happened to some of these characters.
Just going on an aside here, I think out of all the final girls they could have brought back, Chris Higgins probably is the one least likely, because look at her at the end of part three, dude. She is going fucking crazy. Like,
yeah,
I picture her in a fucking asylum. Honestly,
you know, that's what I was thinking. You know, I was thinking that would be perfect. You know, even if she doesn't come back, I could see, you know, how you started off, like, you know, Tommy's getting transferred to the same fucking loony bin that Chris Higgins is in, you know? And
yeah,
you know, she's still batshit crazy. And, you know, I could see, you know, there's ways they could bring, you know, all three of them back. Jenny and Tommy are able to, you know, I could see Tommy trying to recruit Jenny to go back and go after Jason. And maybe he tries to do that with Chris Higgins too, but she's too far gone and she's in the freaking loony bin and she's just too batshit crazy. She can't make heads or tails out of anything. So, you know, maybe just Jenny and Tommy go back and, you know, have it out with Jason. And, you know, maybe one.
Well, see, I mean, I understand that a lot of fans would love to see a group of final girls and guys in this case come back to defeat Jason. But I mean, the way they would have to get them back together, it would just be, I don't know. That's not even a thread I would like to even see them pursue.
It'd take half the movie to lead up to them.
Yeah, no
up.
Shit.
Well, Jenny, I mean, Amy Steele is really a therapist anyway, you know. She's a psychotherapist. She could end up being, Tommy could end up being one of her patients. And, you know,
I don't know. I
there's lots of different ways to go about doing it.
I mean, you're right, but I think
Tommy coming back, you know, partly I'd love it because they never really got to do with that character what they originally intended to do in the first place. And part six, you know.
Well, if you take what Corey Feldman wants to do with the character, he's not even trying to do what they wanted to do with the character.
No, but he.
However, I do think that, given the little bit of detail we do have on what he might have been thinking, it would have been a much better film than part six. Is really my whole point in all of this.
Well, I think it would be probably better than most of the films after part five up to the reboot. I don't think it would take a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was a point where it downturned
and it just kept going. But, you know, I think having something definitive that's like, I guess, a fitting ending, you know, between, you know, the struggle between Jason and Tommy, I think would be a cool movie.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think, realistically speaking, in the end, Tommy would, you know, die. I don't think he would make it through the movie, and that would be the only way that he would rid himself of the demon of Jason.
I really like that idea that you just said. You know, we all love Tommy, and he didn't die in part six, but honestly, I think a good close to the Jarvis trilogy would have been for him to die, because of the point that you just said, he would finally be rid of the demon. So it'd be a sort of a bittersweet type of thing, where, yeah, it sucks that he died, but at the same time, you know, given what he went through in part three, and then, you know, you can see with John Shepard's version of Tommy in part five, you can see the effects that it had on him. And so to me, there's no better way to end that story thread than with Tommy dying at the hands of Jason.
Kind of have to. You can't have a happy ending all the time, particularly right. in something like the this.
The only other way it could go would be the direction they originally wanted it to be, where Tommy does, you know, he loses it fully, and he dons the mask, and he becomes the next killer. I mean, and
but the whole problem, if that were going to happen, that should have happened in part six.
Agreed. I totally
now agree. If you tried to do that now, it just wouldn't work. I mean, because we've had, you know, seven films after that, or six films after that, with Jason as the killer. So it wouldn't make any sense.
I agree, but
do that now.
They could always do like they did with the Halloween series. I mean, the Halloween H2O didn't recognize Ugh. 4, 5, 6. Or it was a direct sequel to 2. I mean, they could always,
and they would still have to do it with Corey Feldman's version.
Mm-hmm.
They would still have to disregard some things, but six mainly, which is fine.
Or even 5. I mean,
no, dude, no. I would not
want
to.
I wouldn't want them
to
lose part 5, but I mean, I could. I mean, I guess they could if they really wanted to go that route. But shit, they could even bring Pam back. I mean.
All right, so the next point on Smith's list is reinventing for relevance. Tommy is a haunted character. Something dark was already driving him, and his attack on Jason at the conclusion of part 4 is brutal and methodical. He outfoxed the mute killer and was one step ahead of him, preventing his resurrection and protecting his sister. Pick up decades later with Jarvis in a different world. Haunted by the ghosts of his past, he is obsessed in his steadfast belief that Jason Voorhees never perished. In essence, ignore the film's past part 4 like Halloween H2O and start a whole new timeline. This isn't all about hunting Jason. This is about exploring Tommy and his world. Now hang on the fucking second. How did Tommy in part 4 prevent a resurrection? I don't understand that point.
I think his attack at the end just kind of finished Jason off, but I mean, I don't see him preventing a resurrection. He just wouldn't have been completely dead yet.
Yeah, I mean, in that regard, I suppose.
I mean, he's directly responsible for his resurrection in part 6. So I mean,
yes,
I don't.
Yes, he is. Had to go play fucking Frankenstein and shit.
with fucking.
I fucked up.
What's his name from Welcome Back, Cotter? Horshack. They should have played that freaking music when Jason woke up. Welcome back.
Well, there's something else I got to do.
And I mean, honestly, the attack on Jason is brutal, but I mean, I guess you could say methodical, because he took what Rob, you know, all those newspaper clippings and quickly formed
and I think
a plan,
that's what
it
proves
worked,
the,
sort
the,
of.
The other point about did he study Jason? Did he know about his exploits? I'd say
yeah.
No.
It was just a quick thing.
Right. He learned about Jason going, you know, rummaging through, you know, Rob's dirty drawers, which that's kind of creepy in itself. But I mean, had that family known about Jason and what it was going on, I mean, I seriously doubt they'd still be hanging out in the woods, you know. I mean, granted, it was all supposed to have taken place over the over like a 3 days or 4 days or whatever. But you know, I don't think anybody knew about Jason. I mean, people sure as hell wouldn't be going, "Hey, you know what? We're going to go away for the weekend. Let's go up where this guy's hacking fuckers up."
That sounds like a good idea. I don't know, man. I mean. It's pretty, like, in some of the other movies, I seem to recall, like, people actually, like, discussing it on the way up there, you know? So, there are some of them that are dumb enough to be like, you know what? Shit happened. Fuck it.
Well, I mean, I remember in part two, they're talking about what Pamela did, like, 5 years before. They're not talking about stuff going on right now.
Yeah, let me give it to you straight about
yeah, but that was a legend. I mean, he hadn't even been hacking fuckers up yet. I mean, the only person missing was Alice.
Eh, that's a fair point.
Yeah. And then part three happened the day after part two, and part four happened the day or two after that. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that point for sure. Not enough time had gone by, at least until part five and six, for anyone to really know what was going on.
Yeah, we get to part five. Crystal Lake, anyway. Years have gone by. So, yeah, people should have been well aware of Jason's exploits at that point.
And I mean, I don't mind the idea, and we talked about this briefly, you know, on the last point, but although I don't agree that he should ignore films past part four, because I really think you gotta have five.
You know, call five, you know, they say they can't stand it because it wasn't Jason, but you know, I don't care. I still think that was, and I've said it before, that was the last really good Friday the 13th that I really liked until the reboot, to be honest with you.
Well, you don't really know what's happening in that one. It plays that, I think we discussed
right. It's got
you, in that one. It's like a whodunit element.
Yeah, it's definitely a whodunit. You don't know if it's Tommy. Has Jason come back? You know, is it somebody else? You know, I mean, you really don't. At least when I first saw it, I never really entertained the fact that it was somebody else until I saw the blue freaking chevrons on the hockey mask, and then I knew damn well. Either it's somebody else or these people just totally screwed the pooch making this movie, because it's obviously not the same Jason. Unless it's, you know, Michael Myers, you know, grabbed the hockey mask because he's wearing the freaking overalls now. But, I mean, it just has you going back and forth thinking, is it possibly Tommy? Is he losing it? Is he blacking out and turning into, you know, is he slowly? I thought he was slowly becoming Jason.
I feel like the movie definitely leads you down that road too, right. Only to jerk you back in a different direction, obviously. But
well, yeah, I mean, because like we discussed on our part five episode, and even with Melanie Kinneman, you know, that was their whole plan for Tommy anyway. So yeah, I agree there. However, I mean, the problem I have with it with making Tommy the killer is then. You're at a loss for movies past that one. I mean,
right,
because
you
Tommy
lose the
is not
right,
for
a
killer.
Really great protagonist too, you know.
Well, but Jason
yeah,
wasn't
that too.
Killer
yeah, I agree that
at that point yet either, because they weren't planning on ever bringing Jason back. They were going to have Tommy carry on the franchise, and they could have got two, three movies or whatever out of Tommy, and then I think
they couldn't have not in the way no not dude. I mean, just look at part five. Roy took a fucking beating in that movie. I mean, it still surprises me that he even made it through to the end. I mean, granted, I think we said in our part five special, you know, the man in latex mask, that, you know, he was possibly on some kind of speed drug to do all that to make it through it. But there's no way you're going to get a normal human being able to do that time and time again. No. If part six would have been Tommy as the killer, that would have been the last film. That's just my opinion. That would have been the last fucking film. Because there's, I mean, maybe one more. Maybe. But there's no way that you're going to get a normal human being to survive a night like that.
If you consider the idea about, you know, Tommy not being able to handle the beating he would have gotten as Jason, I mean, think about the fact that until Tommy killed him, if you go with the ideal that he wasn't dead yet, like completely dead, I mean, he got his ass kicked like pretty thoroughly over the course of those movies before Tommy killed him, and he still kept going. Now, granted, he's not, like you said, a normal human being. I mean, you could take that point into consideration, of course. But I think you could have gotten a couple, you know. I think you could have gotten a couple films out of it with Tommy as the killer.
Yeah, but the difference between Tommy and Jason is even previous to part five is the fact that at that point we didn't know what was up with Jason. I mean, yeah, it's easy to theorize that he died or didn't die when he was a boy now. But think about when these films were coming out. And even when you factor in the writer's intent, Victor Miller even said, yo, Jason died. Jason was fucking dead in my movie. And so you take that, and I mean, Yeah, sure. Like me, I like to not resort to the supernatural before part six. But, you know, there's lots of arguments where you can. And I think that the idea that two people in the same, you know, inhabiting the same sort of world could have the same kind of quality, I just don't think you could have got more than one more film out of it. And I'm even saying you couldn't even go past part six. If Tommy was the killer in part six, that's the last film. I mean, that's just my opinion. Maybe you would have got
one
more.
The point they were going to make was that horror or terror, whatever you want to call it, was contagious, and that the curse, Jason's curse, was passed on to Tommy. So, you know,
and
the
not
regular,
like in part nine.
Yeah, no, not like him making out and shaving a naked dude in his house. But it was passed on. So that I mean, oh. If you look at it that way, you know, he's not, you know, I would argue to say he's not a normal person anymore. He may not feel, he may feel pain, but not.
Dude, he's a fucking soldier coming back from Iraq, dude. He is a normal person. I'm sorry. Tommy, he suffers from PTSD, but past that,
I understand
he's
that,
fucking like you and
the
me.
The point I'm trying to make is if Jason's curse gets passed on to Tommy, then he's not the same Tommy that you're talking about that just has the PTSD issues. Now he's got this.
Yo, we
I'm
hate
not talking
Jason
about
goes
Jason
hell.
Goes
I,
to hell.
I don't.
I'm not talking about a demon going in there and possessing him. I'm just talking about a curse that of something
and going know, up his sister's vagina.
You know, he.
So you're going along like the supernatural aspect, essentially.
In a sense.
Yeah.
Not to the point where, you know, he's impervious to, you know, gunfire and everything else. I mean, I would
what
say
about
you
bulldozers.
Know, well, I mean,
Roy took that one pretty good.
Yeah, he did. But I mean, I'm not saying that he would be indestructible. I'm just saying that he may not go down as easy as a normal person is what I'm
right
what
because I'm he's at. Not he's not the the ass kicking is not registering with him the same as it
right,
would under
brain,
normal circumstances.
Yeah, it's just he's driven by something and he's just not, you know, until his body just flat out just does it. Just can't function anymore. He's got a, you know, a drive. I mean, not unlike, I mean, you know, I know this is Friday the 13th, but I mean, look at Michael Myers. I mean, he, you know, the same kind of when they said that they want that Jason's curse was going to be passed on to Tommy. That's kind of what I envisioned that Tommy would have become sort of like a Michael Myers, where he's not, you know, technically an immortal, but you know, it takes, you know, like a normal person, you know, a couple of shots. And I mean, they're down for the count. But, you know, how many times we see Michael Myers get stabbed, shot, freaking thrown off a car, you know, all this. And he keeps getting up and he's not a zombie, supernatural, invincible killer like Jason was. That's,
right.
That's,
it's just not registering with him.
Right. He just doesn't, you know, until his body just flat out fails. I mean, he's just going to keep coming.
I don't know. I just can't go with that, man. I just can't go with that. It looks like if we keep down this road, we're just going to be beating the fucking dead Jason. So moving on.
Die!
Yes, that was stupid.
Go ahead and plug that sound bite in there.
But anyway, Smith's next point was graphic novel and video game the shit out of this. He says, I understand there's an underground Tommy versus Jason graphic novel out there. Find these people who did it and bring them in. Make this a Comic-Con launch concept. Turn Tommy into an anti-hero and reinvent him Frank Miller Dark Knight style. Should Corey Feldman know who these people are, reach out to him and get him in for a talk. I'm willing to bet these artists are fans of his and they have approached him at some point.
You know, that's an interesting point about the video game thing. I missed that episode, unfortunately, where we talked to one of the guys involved with the game. Did we ask that question? Whether there was going to be like a Tommy Jarvis?
Well, he was being pretty tight-lipped about
On the episode, I asked him if there was a chance that we might see Crazy Ralph, you know, in the video game.
Wait. What's that you say?
Goody Camp Blood, ain't ya? You'll never come back again. It's got a death curse.
And I mean, his response was, "You never know who we'll find at Camp Crystal Lake." So I mean, I knew if we asked him about anybody in particular, he was just going to give the same answer. Yeah. So
did he say it like that and back up into the shadows? I mean,
no. I mean, he just
never
said,
"Know who we'll see."
You're all doomed.
No, he didn't say it.
Great. Got it twice.
They didn't believe me.
I'm gonna disagree with at least half of this. Graphic novel the shit out of this? Fuck yes. And if there's an underground Tommy versus Jason graphic novel out there, to our listeners, please fucking bring that to our attention, because like I have no idea what he's talking about.
Can direct us to it.
Absolutely.
And whoever directs it to us can I will be on for a Q&A session.
Fuck yeah. I agree with that. Now, the video game side of it, no. Like, there does not need to be a Tommy versus Jason video game.
You don't think that would be like an interesting side note in the game or something?
No, they could put Tommy in fucking Mortal Kombat and be okay.
Now
we got Leatherface and Alien in there now too, so.
Yeah. Now, they could add Tommy to the game, to Friday the 13th, the game, okay? But I'm pretty sure that's a totally different concept than this dude is talking about. And like we said, I mean, Wes was pretty tight-lipped about stuff like that. So, I mean, they would be stupid not to put Tommy in the game at some point. But I don't think it's going to be in the capacity that Harrison wants
to
be.
I look at it as it's probably going to be something like you run into Tommy at Camp Crystal Lake and he's trying to warn you off or something, but he tries to help you, but he takes off, or Jason kills you and he takes off or something like that. I don't think it'll get to the point where Tommy will be a playable character, if that's what you mean.
No, I do. I think Tommy will be a playable character probably if they add him into the game at all. I think Tommy will be a playable character. Now, I mean, with Crazy Ralph, and we already
what's
did the thing,
say?
So don't say it again. Shut up. Hey, well, on a side note, originally that was supposed to be E's thing to say when I brought up Crazy Ralph, but anyway, that's fucking history, and that's not what we're talking about. You can ask us about it if you know about this underground graphic novel and you're on the show for a Q&A session. But yeah, I think that Tommy will probably be a playable character. Because I mean, like, I don't think Crazy Ralph will be a playable character, because Crazy Ralph never really fought Jason, but Tommy had. So I could see them maybe letting you play as Tommy. And I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe he'll be some sort of character who tries to warn you off. I don't know.
Wouldn't it be funny if you could like hop on Crazy Ralph's bike and pedal your ass away as Jason's running after you? I'm sorry. That just popped into my head.
Yes. But I mean, I think, but again, I don't see Tommy as an anti-hero. I mean, this dude clearly wants Tommy to become the killer, and you know, he wants the audience to feel bad for him. But I don't see that being a good idea given parts four and five. And again, I think you gotta keep part five, man, because that was one of the best portrayal of Tommy out of all of them.
I think
it
was definitely the best
portrayal
of adult Tommy. I mean, I still think of the three, my favorite is still, believe it or not, Corey Feldman's portrayal. And I think it was because that was the introduction of the character, so that's the, you know. I don't know. There's something about that installment that, I mean, and maybe it was because I was the same age as him when I first saw it, you know, so that I was able to relate more to him. But that's my favorite.
Fair enough.
I'm an old fucker. You guys are young.
So his next point is think about a TV series for this. Word is that Jason is getting his own TV show coming up. Horror has found a new home on television, much like good drama has. Package up Tommy versus Jason, make it a storyline that could dovetail with the present Jason TV show or run parallel to it. cross-pollinate and make this something that could run supplemental to a series of new theatrical features. 4 points for generating cash, and he's talking about the above, all the things we've talked about so far. You create a spinoff with the stigma of a remake. You bring back a fan favorite and one of the top three characters in over 10 motion pictures. You avoid the stigma of recycling old plots and diluting the horror aspect of the film. The series becomes relevant to an entirely new generation of viewers who only heard of Jason Voorhees from their parents and Family Guy.
I love when they put him on there, man. It's hysterical every time.
Yes. Again, I think this dude is making too big of a deal out of how Tommy fits into the whole series. Yes, it would be cool if slash when they did the TV show that Tommy played a part in it. However, I do not think that they need a spinoff, or I mean, maybe they could do like a supplemental web, like webisodes. I mean, Battlestar Galactica did that, and I really enjoyed the extra stuff that it brought to the main storyline that was out of place in a normal episode. But then again, Tommy is too big for just a webisode. So I feel like Tommy should be in the main thick of it through maybe, I don't know, a season. Tommy should be a part of the TV show. Having him...
Or how about even a reoccurring character, just not every episode, you know, having just... You know, popping in here and there for a few episodes here.
Well, yeah, I think that they could do that at first, but I think to tell that story within the framework of the TV show, I think you put him in for a couple episodes, like maybe season one. But then you got to focus on something like on his character for a whole season, I think.
Well, I mean, it is a major character. That's just my opinion. If they were to bring him in on the TV show, yeah, you couldn't just, hey, look, it's Tommy, peace. You really couldn't do that,
right?
You know what I mean,
right? Yeah, it would have to be multiple episodes. You know, and I'm still bummed that they decided to write him out of the, you know, Freddy versus Jason. You know, he was originally supposed to be in show up in that.
Still awesome.
Now, you know what? I could picture a storyline for Freddy versus Jason where that would have made sense. Well, Jason Bateman, I would have also liked to have seen Tommy
was supposed to be play the role of Tommy.
Well, you know what? I could see that. He kind of fits the look.
I think the Tommy character is who the cop kind of took. They decided not to bring Tommy into it, and that the cop that comes in and crashes their party and decides he's going to help them. I think that was the remnants or what was ever left of the Tommy character that did make it into the film.
You talking about the guy that got his face smashed into the control panel?
Yeah, the cop.
Okay.
It basically shows up and gives him a whole rundown of, you know, Jason drowned at Camp Crystal Lake in 1950, whatever. And
right, and he's stuff. The only one that's actually buying into it at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was originally
supposed. Yeah, but we'll save that conversation for our Freddy versus Jason episode. Okay.
It's coming.
But again, I mean, I disagree with Harrison again here. He's making too big of a deal of Tommy's arc and the overall storyline.
He's obviously a big fan of the character, so I kind of get why. But yeah, I think you're right in the sense that he is I don't know, just kind of digging too hard into it.
Well, all right, let's get in some listener mail. But before we do, let's hear from another show on the Tangent Bound Network.
In a world where so many podcasts offer TV and movie news, along comes another one filled to the brim with podcasty goodness that is only slightly better at best.
Admit it, you're always looking for a new brand of meaningless movie nonsense in your podcast diet.
Look for the 365 Flicks podcast on Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, and all good third-party podcast apps. You can also swing by the Facebook page.
Come join in on the adventures of Kev, a pissy ex-video store clerk.
And Chris, a Scottish Whedon Hall.
We're your vocal heroes of pissy opinion.
We bring you all the latest TV and movie news, reviews, and general geeky rants.
as well as a bunch of top fives that you really won't care about. So whether you're Team Iron Man or Team Cap,
you're Team Batman or Team Superman,
drop on by the 365 Flicks podcast, where the Chris versus Kev Civil War never stops.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
All right, we only got a couple pieces of listener mail this week. And the first is from Jeremy R. Vilmer. He says, "Hey guys, was just listening to some of your earlier episodes and caught the Pamela episode. Had this theory to float by you and see what you think. As a victim of abuse and being a wee bit batshit crazy, Pamela was abusive to young Jason. She beat him viciously and because of his deformity kept herself and him hidden away from other people."
Gone.
Now hang on.
I don't think she beat him.
Yeah. I gotta interject here. Normally I would read the whole thing before we commented on it, but I think that line of thinking is out of line with Pamela's character. I mean, granted,
but no, listen to how he talks about her when he at the very end of the listen to how she talks about him at the end of the first movie. I mean, that just throws that out the window right away.
My special boy. I can't see her beating the piss out of her special boy.
And even if you take the comic book that he's talking about, because I think he's talking about our Pamela's Tale episode, yeah. which she didn't beat him.
Elias did.
Elias, in the comics, she's still pregnant with him when she kills Elias, isn't she?
Right. Elias beat her, and in turn, it affected Jason.
All right. So I think we have a problem with your opening statement, sir, but I will go ahead and read the rest of this. So when young Jason, who had already been torturing and killing small animals in the woods, had been in the lake and thought to be drowned, he actually woke up on the shore somewhere, and fearing his mother's reaction to him having been missing for so long, he hid away. He spent years following her around but staying away out of fear. Pamela, even though he was still there, even though he was gone, so Jason could actually be skulking around the forest the night Alice killed Pamela after years of him stalking his mother and practicing his burgeoning serial killer skills. What do you guys think?
Much, man. I mean,
I mean, we already commented on the first part, and I think you're agreed. Off base there. I don't think that Jason has ever been afraid of his mother. Because even if you don't take the comic books into question, the whole reason Jason exists as we know him is because of his mother, revenge for his mother. If she was really that
kissing their
horrible
kissing
to
Alice's
him,
ass, hey, you killed the bitch. Thanks.
Like, good looking out, yo.
I know, right?
Can I crash on your couch for a night or
exactly.
two?
Exactly. All right, so Jeremy, I cannot, in good conscience, agree with pretty much anything you said. I mean, I don't think Pamela abused him, and I don't think he was scared of her. He made a fucking shrine to her, after all. So I just can't see your point of view on this. I'm sorry, bro.
I like entertaining theories, you know, just as much as the next guy. But that there's really nothing to support anything in that one at all.
And that was actually one we got a long time ago. I don't even remember putting that in the notes, but it was just like there.
Well, better late than never, I guess.
Donnie Aldridge said, "I think Tommy should wake up in part 7 through Jason X were a dream. Then Tommy goes back to the lake and nothing but the rock and chain are there with Jason missing. And the camp is still called Forest Green. Oh yeah, Amy still comes back after being in rehab. Then the killings start slowly. Is it Jason? Is it someone else? Is Tommy really crazy? Also, the Paul mystery is solved along with the red-headed Ted that went to the bar." He's talking about part 2. "Could have a lot of cameos. The real script will be nothing like this because Hollywood is shit ideas." it would be nice if Tommy could wake up.
If that happens, will we have never seen part 9?
I've still not seen part 9. What are you talking about?
I hope so.
No spoilers.
Got some catching up to do.
I think we touched on this previously in this episode. the idea that Tommy is not the killer and he's still on the lookout for Jason. I mean, yeah, you could have Amy still come back, but again, I mean, I think once you start doing stuff like that, you're fucking reaching, man.
You have
to
rewrite the whole like everything.
Well, you wouldn't have to rewrite everything because I mean, Amy Steele's character never shows up again. But as far as Paul's character is concerned,
he dead.
Yes, yes, you brought it back. It's been many, many moons since you said that. Yeah, I mean, I guess you would know what happened to Paul. I think the ending of part two, you know, you kind of infer, but to have a concrete
answer. They could always use.
Yeah, sure.
You know, the beginning of the original part three, you know, plot and, you know, show her finding his head.
As far as Ted goes, I don't think we have to wonder what happened to him.
He hooked up with that.
Went home.
He hooked up with that red-haired chick at the diner that Steve Christie was hitting on in the first movie.
Duh.
And then he got run over by Christine.
All right, and we got some more iTunes reviews that I want to give shout-outs to. Benjamin Tyler, who gave us a 5-star review. Thank you, sir. Great show on Friday the 13th. If you loved Friday the 13th or at least once used him as your Halloween costume, then you need to check this show out. Interview with Cass, fun facts, and a great dynamic between the hosts. Keep up the good work, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, bro. Yeah, I think we have an excellent dynamic between the hosts. I don't know how to say this, so I'll just guess. Jim Flam 1, another 5-star review. He says, reminds me of childhood. Very cool that there is a podcast dedicated to just Friday the 13th. Explanation. I grew up on these movies, and it's a reminder of the great horror movies from the past. Keep it up. Explanation again. Thanks,
bro. I was wondering how many punctuations you were going to read out loud, man.
Then we got a, I don't know if this is Glue Band or GLU Band. Either way, they gave us another 5-star review. Horror Geeks United. If you like sitting around with your friends and talking about horror movies, this show is perfect for you. Me? I'm not a fan of this series, but I think these guys are exactly what the fans of the series will enjoy. They discuss favorite scenes, deaths, etc. It's not really my thing. See the Neverland podcast. I'm assuming that's probably yours. But if you love Jason, these guys are your guys, and you'll enjoy them every week.
Word.
Hell yeah.
I checked out the Neverland podcast, and it's, you know, it's not my cup of tea, but, you know, maybe some of you guys might like it. And Steven Shamrock, a.k.a. Jim fucking Elliot, gave us a 1-star review. He says, dreadful. I don't expect every podcast to be hosted by broadcast professionals, but they should at least try to form complete thoughts.
Has this guy ever been on the internet before? Why would you expect any podcast to be hosted by a broadcast professional? I wouldn't be doing this at my computer if I was a broadcast professional. Jesus Christ.
We'd be doing podcasts.
Now, granted, we are not broadcast professionals. Fair enough, sir.
We never claim to be.
But the idea that we don't form complete thoughts.
Ah, I see. Yep. I'm glad I hesitated. I knew where that was going.
I don't understand that. yeah, I mean, we're not professionals, but I don't understand where he comes off saying we don't form complete thoughts. Even in our first couple episodes, like, they were shitty, but
I don't know.
Fair enough.
No complete thoughts thing. I mean, I think we, you know, when we address a point, we tend to wrap it up pretty good.
Especially like right now, where you're going to form complete thoughts about how much we fucking don't like this 1-star review and think it's some.
Also, is his name Shamrock or Shamork?
Oh, it's Shamork. Sorry.
We can still play the Halloween Shamrock music. It's okay.
We can do whatever we want. We're not professionals or anything.
That's right. All right, gentlemen. I don't think we need to beat Shamork up anymore. So, final thoughts on Tommy versus Jason.
With regard to that article, one thing I kind of looking at and I didn't really agree with was the idea that there are no real memorable characters in the franchise. I know they really only focused on the only one they really brought back and tried to make a legitimate story arc with was Tommy. But I mean, I think there are several memorable characters in the series. I mean, granted, a lot of them are memorable for novelty's sake, like Crazy Ralph, right, or the douchebag from Jason Takes Manhattan, the dude that tries to box Jason on the rooftop. It's or a memorable character.
Ethel.
Ethel, and what was his son's name?
Ethel and Junior.
Yeah, man.
Hear me, ba.
Those are definitely memorable characters, yeah, if man. Only for novelty's sake.
I mean, I totally agree. I mean, there's definitely characters that are thrown in there that kind of get lost in the shuffle, but there are characters that, you know, for whatever reason that, you know, people identify with, that, you know, either it's humor, you know, or, you know, the douchebags like Rick and Axel that are, you know, can't take no for an answer, you know. I mean, there's all kinds of, I mean, take your pick. I mean, different people have different characters. Or Teddy, the dead fuck guy, you know, Teddy, yeah, and Jimbo. I mean, come on.
I don't know. That's my only thing. There were memorable characters. Even Banana Lady. I remember Banana Lady.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. All right. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever the fuck you listen to this show at. If you want to support us financially and make us ad-free, head over to campbloodpodcast.com/donate.
And you do.
Send your questions and theories to our Facebook page, tweet at campbloodpod, or send an email to feedback@campbloodpodcast.com. You can also text or leave us a voicemail at 757-637-0216. And please consider checking out some of the other shows on the Tangent Bound Network, like the network's flagship show, the Tangent Bound Podcast, Astro Radio Z, or the Bloodlust. You can find these shows and many, many more at tangentboundnetwork.com. A special thanks goes out to the Downriver Rat for our intro and outro music. You can check out his music at thedownriverrat.com. Until next time.